Another round of corporate mergers, but is it enough to encourage Wall Street?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. Welcome to the Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. A new batch of corporate deal-making under normal circumstances ought to bode well for Wall Street, signaling as it does some confidence in future growth. It began with word that consumer goods giant Unilever is buying Alberto Culver, the U.S. maker of VO5, Tresemme, and Nexus for $3.7 billion. Then came news Southwest Airlines will buy AirTran. More on that in a moment, but first, where's Wall Street? Seems traders are in a skeptical mood today. The Dow is out of the gate with an 8-point deficit. The Nasdaq is off nearly a third of a percent. The S&P 500 has slipped nearly a quarter of a percent. Stocks also back near the center line on the major European exchanges. We're hearing more skepticism from Wall Street this morning over the Obama administration's latest focus. Today, the president is signing a $30 billion measure aimed at getting money flowing to small businesses and creating more jobs. But will it work as intended? Let's put that question to Julia Coronado, the chief economist for North America at BNP Paribas. Good morning, Julia. Do you see more jobs out of this?
I don't think that the bill is going to be a huge creator of new jobs. I don't expect it to materially alter the picture of slow employment growth that we've been seeing lately. Small businesses, you know, there have been credit support programs and tax incentives for hiring for small businesses. But really what they're facing is a very significant credit crunch. The banking system as a whole continues to shrink and consolidate. We've had 125 banks fail so far this year. And as long as that severe credit restriction is in place, it's hard to really see small businesses hiring and expanding aggressively.
Well, yes, but isn't that what this bill is supposed to overcome?
Yeah, it is. And again, I think it does provide some assistance and will provide some help. Does it alter the overall backdrop? I'm a little bit more skeptical there. I think, you know, we still have a fundamental problem of a banking system that is gradually working off and writing down bad assets and shrinking and consolidating in the process. And they're really not in the mode of helping to support growth. And I think that that's a very difficult problem for sort of minor policy measures to overcome.
Quickly on to tomorrow, the Conference Board releases its consumer confidence figures. What do you expect to see when it comes to consumer confidence?
Well, this is the measure from the Conference Board, and we're looking for it to fall back, just as we saw with the Michigan survey that was released earlier this month. In fact, that survey, we saw consumer confidence hit the lowest reading in over a year. And I think what this suggests is consumers are feeling very uncertain. They're feeling the economic slowing. They're feeling more uncertain about their prospects in the labor market. And therefore, they're probably going to be more conservative on big-ticket items like cars and appliances, which means, again, ongoing subdued level of consumer spending.
Julia Coronado at BNP Paribas, thanks.
It's my pleasure.
Back to that merger this morning between two successful discount airlines. Southwest will take over AirTran. It's a $3.4 billion transaction that gives Southwest access to some big new markets. Marketplace's John Dimsdale joins us from Washington. John, why is this such a big deal for Southwest?
Well, until now, Southwest had been sort of the Walmart of the airline industry. It kept fares low, in part by steering clear of the major markets. Instead of flying into Boston, for example, it first set up shop in Providence, Rhode Island, and Manchester, New Hampshire. AirTran's airport operations give Southwest the ability to expand their operations at Logan in Boston, LaGuardia in New York, and most notably, the huge hub in Atlanta.
Well, why would Southwest be looking for that kind of expansion now?
Well, they've been really successful in the markets they're in. This will allow the company to grow even larger with new destinations in Florida and even some international airports in the Caribbean. So this is the next logical step for Southwest.
Marketplace's John Dimsdale, thanks.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. By the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM. And by Ally Bank, committed to customer service. At allybank.com, visitors can chat online with a customer care associate 24/7.
After weeks of horror stories about filthy living quarters and unfinished bathrooms, it turns out the accommodations at India's Commonwealth Games might not be so bad after all. Athletes in New Delhi have started moving in and report being pleasantly surprised by what they found. Rahul Tendon is the BBC's reporter in New Delhi. Hello.
Hi, Bob.
What sort of reaction has there been from the athletes who've already moved in?
There's about 1,000 athletes who've moved in. Bob, you can imagine they've seen all those pictures, I'm sure that you have as well, heard the reports. So on their way to the accommodation, they were pretty nervous. But when they got there, beaming smiles on their faces, they were all pretty happy. Louise Bevan is a Welsh hockey player. I asked her what her room was like.
The rooms are in fantastic condition. Everybody's loving the balcony, the views we have, and all the conditions are just absolutely fantastic.
Rahul, how much work have they had to do over the past few days to get these facilities up to scratch?
Bob, it's been crazy. Electricians, cleaners, plumbers, anybody they can find in Delhi to really get this place ready. 4,000 people working around the clock. Most of the conditions are good, but there's still some work to go.
Now, how easy is it going to be for the organizers to be able to put these horror stories that we've heard behind them and get on with these games?
That's going to take a long, long time, I think. Look, today, a big story here. There was a snake in the South African room. They found another snake on the tennis village as well.
Oh,
a boxer's bed broke when he tried to lay down on it. All these stories dominating the headlines here. You know as well as I do, when a negative news cycle starts, it's difficult to break.
Rahul Tendon is the BBC's reporter in New Delhi. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Bob.
Finally this morning, the Transportation Department is working on a new rule to mandate a refund of your baggage fee in the event they're lost or delayed. Well, the Air Transport Association, which represents most of the big airlines, is arguing against that, saying that defining what's a timely delivery for bags is a subjective question. ATA suggests letting the airlines choose when to offer refunds. Hey, as long as we're exploring that subject, what about making the bag fees voluntary for us passengers? Just a suggestion. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.